We're going to open up our Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians because we're finding ourselves back in this book. And as I've said, we will be here often as you turn there. When I was in college, this was in the days before cell phones were really readily available. And during the last 2 years of my time in college, my now wife Hannah and I were in a long distance relationship. And so we would spend many an hour on the phone back then. That was not inexpensive. There was no free mobile-to-mobile. And so we would call, we talked to one another, and I think I've shared this in the past, because we talked for so long, instead of just having a headset, I finally went out and I bought myself, or a handset, I bought myself a headset. There was something kind of similar to this, so I would wear it over my ears so I could talk to her and lay on my bed and daydream, all that fun stuff. And so we would have conversation, but one time I was calling, and I think Hannah and I had this experience, but I definitely had it when I was talking with my mom one time, is because it was a wireless on some kind, there was a gal in the girls' dorm who must have been on a similar frequency. Because one time when I was on the phone with my mother, I hear this other voice begin talking. Now, they couldn't hear us, but we could hear them. And I knew who it was. I could tell by the voice. And this precious young girl was talking with her father on the phone. And their conversation had to do with certain spending habits that she had because of a credit card. And so I'm talking, and I'm like, "Mom, shh, I can hear something." I'm like, "That was bad. I was in a Bible college." I got in on this conversation for a little while, and I could tell that the father wasn't too pleased with the daughter and was trying to correct her and eventually say, "Hey, Mom, I got to hang up. I got to call you back because this is distracting." Entertaining, yes, but distracting also. So I hung up the phone. And I don't know if you've ever had one of those things happen. It's kind of an awkward situation when you're listening on a conversation that's not your own. And if you're a good person, unlike me, you won't keep on listening. But I say that because when we come to a book like 1 Corinthians, we have that kind of a situation going on in one sense. Because there's this conversation between the Apostle Paul and this group of believers, this church that he loves. And he's speaking to these people, he's encouraging them, he's correcting them, but we're kind of like listening in. Like we know what their relationship is like, and we hear him like that father was talking to that daughter. And there's some intimate things that are being shared, and there's some correction that's taking place that at times can seem a little bit awkward. You're like, "Wow, I can't believe, you know, they had those problems." But here's the issue. When you read the book of 1 Corinthians, you realize that we're just like them. That what Paul is speaking and what the Lord is ultimately speaking through Paul wasn't just something for the Corinthians, but was something for us today. So where we find ourselves in 1 Corinthians is we're going to pick up in chapter 3, but I want us to catch up for a minute and kind of let you know what's been happening, because we want to see ourselves in this as well, because there's a message here for us. So Paul was writing to the Corinthians, and they had a lot of problems in the church, and one of the problems that they had was divisions. And so for the last little bit, Paul's been talking to them about the fact that the church is divided over certain teachers that they're following. And so he's been kind of correcting them, and today we kind of come towards the tail end of that correction on this issue of divisions. But right before this, in verses 6 through 16, what Paul has done is he says, "Look, there's divisions in the church. It shouldn't be this way." And then he kind of breaks away for a minute, and he says, "And here's one of the reasons why it shouldn't be this way. You have heard the gospel. You've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you've believed the gospel. And what that means is the one who hears and believes the gospel is someone who has the Holy Spirit." And so he says, "I'm talking to you as brothers and sisters in the Lord. You heard it when I preached the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ coming into the world to die for you, to forgive your sins, to raise from the dead, to give you new life. You heard that message. You believed that message." And what Paul says, what God says to us, is if you do believe that, the only way that you can do it is because of the Holy Spirit. If you hear and believe the gospel, you have the Holy Spirit. And so one of the things Paul is saying is it's kind of crazy that you have these divisions because you have God inside of you. And so a few weeks ago, we looked at what that meant. To have the Holy Spirit of God inside of you means that you and I were never alone. God indwells us. At any moment, we have access to him. We have fellowship with God. We have a power at work within us that we did not have before. We're able to hear when our Father speaks, and we're able to actually respond. And so in verses 6 through 16 of chapter 2, Paul just said, listen, you're people who have the Holy Spirit in you. You're different. But now look at what he says when we come to our text this morning, starting in verse 1 of chapter 3. Paul comes and he says, but I, brothers and sisters, I could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you're not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? When we read these verses, I have no other way to read them except Paul coming and writing these words is what I like to say is a loving rebuke of the Corinthians. It's as though Paul is saying, listen, each of you has the Spirit of God inside of you, and yet you're quarreling among yourselves. You're divided. You're not living as though the Holy Spirit of God lives in you. And we see this because in verse 1, Paul says, but I, brothers and sisters, could not address you as spiritual people. Spiritual here, I want you to understand this, is a word that is synonymous. It's synonymous with living in the power of the Spirit. So when he says, I couldn't address you as spiritual people, he's specifically saying, I couldn't address you as people who have the Spirit actively working in you. And this is further emphasized by what he says next. But instead, I had to address you, I had to speak to you as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. People of the flesh now, it's synonymous with living as though you did not have the Spirit. You're only fleshly. You're only acting as human. Paul's not saying here to the Corinthians, he's not telling them, listen, this is very, we need to be clear on this. He's not saying, listen, you guys don't have the Holy Spirit. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying that God the Spirit does not indwell the Corinthians. He's not saying that they do not have access to the Holy Spirit. What he is saying is that they're not living out what they have. And so kind of the issue at hand that Paul is addressing is this. This is, and I'm so grateful this passage is in the scripture because here's the main thing that Paul is making us aware of right now. He's saying, listen, we can have the Holy Spirit in us, but act as though we don't. He's talking to these people and he says, I can't address you as spiritual. I have to address you as those in the flesh because he's saying, listen, we can have the Holy Spirit in us, but you're capable of acting as though you don't. In fact, Paul says, listen, and this we get from verse 2. He says, listen, I can think of a time in your life and in your development as Christians that the behavior that you're demonstrating now, people who have the Holy Spirit and yet acting as though you don't, is understandable. Not necessarily acceptable, but understandable. Look at what verse 2 says. He says, when I came to you, I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you're not ready for it. See, he says, when I first came to you, you were people who received the Holy Spirit because you believed this gospel. And so when I started engaging you, I gave you milk. I gave you the soft stuff. I brought to your attention the elementary, the kind of the ABCs of the Christian faith. You weren't yet fully embracing and living out and being fully aware of who you are and what it means to have God inside of you. And so there was a time where that was like understandable. But listen, Paul was with them for 18 months. 18 months he ministered there in Corinth. This book is being written some 4 or 5 years after he first came to them. And so what he's saying to them now is he's saying, look, there was a time where I could understand that you wouldn't fully live out what you have. But now we're like 4 or 5 years down the road and we find ourselves in this place. And so Paul, in these verses, listen, church family, he's telling us, I can understand in one sense why you would once be like this, but this is not how things should be now. Because we are different. See, we can have the Holy Spirit, but act as though we don't. But what Paul is saying, this is not how it should be. Just like you should never wear socks with sandals, right? I was going to show you a picture, but you would have gotten distracted. He's saying, this is awkward. There are these people who have had the Spirit of God, and yet you're living as though you don't. This isn't how it should be because you are different. This, to me, is now one of the most exciting parts of the message for me as I look at this, because Paul says something here that I pray will never leave your minds. You see, to have God indwell you and to act as though he doesn't, he says, this is just hard to fathom. And so what he does is he says, I want you to see just what it really means. And he comes and he says two phrases. He says, you are different. And he emphasizes it by saying this three different times. If you notice in the verses, he talks about how they're behaving in only a human way. And then he comes and he says, when you act this way, are you not being, and I love this phrase, merely human? Right now, you're acting in a way that is just simply human. It's merely human. All right, I'm not going to get ahead of myself here. So let me say that these are remarkable statements because Paul is emphasizing two things. First, he's saying this to describe how the actions and behavior of the Corinthian believers look from the outside looking in. He says, I'm taking a step back. I know who you are. I know you have the Spirit. I'm on the outside. I'm looking in. And what he sees is there's nothing distinguishable about them from those in the world around them. He says, aren't you behaving just as humans? Aren't you behaving in merely a human way? He says, from the outside looking in, I wouldn't guess that you have what you actually have inside of you. See, but that's not all that Paul is saying here. Paul is telling us that for the person who knows Christ as Savior and who has the Holy Spirit indwelling them, you are on a different plane. Because he says, without the Holy Spirit, I expect you just to act in a human way. What he's saying here is, you're not mere humans. If you have the Holy Spirit, you would be behaving in a merely human way, but that's not possible for you. It shouldn't be possible for you just to act as merely human. You have the Holy Spirit. Do you know that because Jesus Christ lived and died and rose from the dead, now given to you by faith in him is his Holy Spirit that takes you from someone who's just purely human to a whole new plane? That's who we are. We're not just merely humans. We are fully human. We're who God has actually made us to be because his Spirit now indwells us. We say to err is human, but for the Christian, that's just simply not the case. You see, without the work of Christ and the indwelling Holy Spirit, everyone else is dead. Without the work of Christ and the indwelling Holy Spirit, everyone else is in bondage, imprisoned. Everyone else, without the work of Christ, does not have victory over sin, does not have power in their lives. But that is not who you and I are. So Paul can say, you're not merely human. You're alive. You're free. You are victorious. And you have the power of God inside of you. I love that. I want to bask in that. And that's not something that I've done for myself. It's what Jesus Christ has secured for me through his death and his resurrection. You're not merely human. Have you embraced that? Have you really taken that in? You're free. You're out of bondage. You're victorious every day. You're alive because God indwells you. I had a friend who was on a flight recently. And while he was on that flight, he was sitting next to a guy, and the guy who was sitting next to him had a glass of water and a glass of wine, and he had a little tray that those things were sitting on. My friend, who I really look up to, a very godly man, he was actually working on a Bible study on his computer, and the guy next to him kind of moved in his seat, got up, and the water and the cup of wine, completely full, fell on top of him. And, the guy immediately felt horrible about what had happened. And there was kind of a hush went out over the entire airplane, right? I mean, it's red wine. It's a mess. You know, flight attendants come over. And they begin cleaning up and everything. And my friend, you know, it's okay. You know, don't worry about it. Accidents happen. You know, the guy is just so worried. And later on after the flight, he's in the baggage claim area, and this guy comes up to him, and he comes up to him and he says, "Hey, I was just across the aisle from you when that happened." And he says, "Man, I was just waiting for you to go off on the guy. I was just waiting for you to explode. I mean, I don't know what I would have done. I mean..." And so this friend of mine, he was like, well, thanks for that. You know, he's like, it's just, you know, not who I am. It's not what I'm about. So they began to kind of get in a conversation. See, that man responded that way because he was expecting my friend to do what was what? Merely human. That's how he would respond. Later, my friend gets his baggage. He gets into the bus and he begins going to his car on the bus, and a guy comes home and says, "Hey, you were that guy that got the wine spilled on him, weren't you?" And he's like, yeah, I was. And he's like, "Man," he's like, "we were a few rows behind you, and everybody in our row was like, oh, this is going to be horrible." He's like, this is unbelievable. And then you didn't do anything. It's like, we were talking about it in our row. Because people expected this individual to respond in a merely human way. And to the testament, not of just my friend's self-control, but to the testament of what he would say, which was the Spirit of God in him, allowed him to demonstrate this control and not act in a merely human way. Because my friend, he knows who he is in Christ and the power that's in him. I love that story because I'm like, that's who we are. Everybody else is expecting us to blow up and get angry and yell and shout. But that's not us, because we're not merely human. Something from the outside has come in. This is what has really happened. Right now, superhero movies in that genre are really big, and some of you I know don't care about superhero movies, but I have to say, like, there's really nothing in nature that really fully demonstrates what's happened. Like, we have to actually go outside of what we know into the world of imagination to really fully grasp that change. I mean, that's why I think some superheroes are so popular, because it's always just a normal person who has something outside of them, like a Spider-Man character, right? Gets bit by a radioactive spider, and then all of a sudden he's able to demonstrate these powers and these abilities that he otherwise did not have. Something alien has come in. And for us, that thing that has come in is the Holy Spirit of God. You see, I think that sometimes too many Christians stay at the foot of the cross. What I mean by that is we stay at the foot of the cross only recognizing our need for forgiveness, which Christ has granted to us. Yet we don't grab the hand of Jesus Christ and do what he did, which was after 3 days, rise from the dead and walk in newness of life. Have you taken his hand? Have you heard his word of forgiveness? You're going to hear two things from us every Sunday here at Valley Center Community Church. The one thing that you're going to hear is because of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Your record has been made completely clean. No more condemnation. But what you're also going to hear from us is that you have been given a new life, resurrection power to walk with Jesus by his Spirit every single day into a life that you could never have without him. Forgiveness and new life. We want you to hear that. I want to take that in daily. I want to know that. Because there's times when I don't walk in the newness of life. And what happens then, right? Well, what I need to be reminded of in those times is forgiveness. But then I don't want to just stay there. I want to pick back up with Jesus where I was and say, who I am is this person who's been freed, and that doesn't define me. That's not who I am. I have power to be different. And so that's why Paul is saying here, listen, we are saints. We're people who've entered into new life and into new creation. And he's looking at the Corinthians and he's saying, like, guys, you're living back in the prison cell when there's divisions amongst you. You opened the door, you walked right back in, and this is not how it should be. That's why I say this book, it's like, it's not just for the Corinthians, because I don't know about you, but I know about me. I know I have the Spirit of God in me, but there are times when I don't act like it. Can I get an amen to that? Yeah. And so one of the things we want to be reminded of today is, okay, when I'm not doing that, I want to be reminded I'm not a mere human. I'm someone who is different. That's why this shouldn't be. But then Paul actually gives us a really three quick things here about, all right, so how do we live in it? And we're going to probably touch on this a little bit next week. So if you don't take it all in, we're going to finish the last part of this next week. But let me just give you this. How do we live in this Spirit? How do we avoid falling into this time and time again? Well, first off, we need to know what not walking in the Spirit looks like. It's very interesting, right, that Paul has to call them out on this. We need to know the difference. We need to know when we're not walking in the Spirit. And fortunately for us, God's word reveals what it looks like when we do not walk in the Spirit. You see, if we have the Spirit, if we're able to walk in it, one of the things we need to know is like, well, when am I not walking in it? Paul tells the Corinthians, he says, it should be pretty evident. Look at here, verses 3-4. He says, well, for you are still of the flesh. You're not living out in the power of the Spirit while there is jealousy and strife among you. Are you not of the flesh and behaving in a human way? For when one says, I follow Paul, another says, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? So jealousy, strife, pride, those are examples of us of not walking in the power of the Spirit. That's not Spirit-led living. Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11, he gives us this next example in 6, 9 through 11. He comes and he says, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor the adulterers, or the idolaters, nor the adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So Paul says, so this is what it looks like to be in the Spirit. These things are not who you are. So when you're demonstrating these things, when you're lying, when you're cheating, when you're engaged in sexual immorality, that's not walking in the Spirit. I don't have time to go there, but Galatians 5, 19 through 20, he says, this is what it looks like to walk in a human way. Go back, look at that passage later on, and you'll see a lot more like it. And so if I could put it in some contemporary language, if you find yourself angry at someone over something, unwilling to even speak kindly to them, that's not walking in the Spirit. If you find yourself constantly arguing with somebody, if you find yourself looking down on the person you are talking to, if you find yourself watching pornography to satisfy a sexual urge, if you find yourself getting a little buzzed because you want to just relax after a long day, if you find yourself being dishonest, if you find yourself cheating, Paul's saying that's not how it should be because you have the Spirit. And so Paul says, hey, we need to be able to identify this. We need to know what this looks like. That's not the Spirit in you. Now, it's one thing to identify the problem, but if the problem is going to be rectified, you have to deal with the cause. And so Paul says, why am I not walking? Why do we find ourselves not walking in the Spirit? I believe the cause is straightforward. Actually, before I reveal it to you, let me just tell you this. When Jesus talks about the Spirit coming to us, he says, listen, the purpose of the Spirit is to make much of me because I make much of the Father. So the Spirit inside of us exists to make much of our God, to give us the life that we were supposed to have from the beginning, to live for his glory. So the opposite of living for his glory, the opposite of making much of God is making much of who? Us. See, elevating our desires above God, that's ultimately the cause. The cause of not walking in the Spirit is the elevation of our desires to the place that only God belongs. In fact, in Galatians 5, 13 through 14, Paul would say it this way when he's writing to another church. He says, listen, for you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. You've been set free. You have this power. There's no more bondage, but don't use it to make much of yourself. Don't use it to satisfy your desires. See, if you're doing that, when your desires, when you give them more weight in your life, when you give your opinions and your feelings more weight, what happens is you elevate them to this place that only God belongs. And the moment you do that, you stop walking in the Spirit. I was reminded of this, my own detriment, this past week. Hannah doesn't even know this yet, but I'm going to share this story because it involves her. We'll talk later. But but I'm like studying this week, and God was like, oh, I'm going to give you just a little example, and let's see what you do with it, buddy. The other day, I had the day off, and so I was able to take things a little bit slower, and I'm working, and I'm doing some things around the house, but, you know, just kind of taking care of things at my pace. Meanwhile, my wife is busy at work. She's homeschooling the girls, taking care of them, and so I'm doing some things outside, cleaning up and doing stuff, and then it comes to about lunchtime, and so I start getting some of the girls' lunch ready, and then I'm getting some of my lunch ready, and their stuff is taking a little bit longer, and I'm pretty hungry, and my thing's starting to get ready to be done, but the girls got a few things, you know, that still need to take place to get their meal ready, but my stuff is going to get cold if I finish taking care of their stuff first. And so Hannah comes from after teaching my girls for all day in the morning, and I say, hey, can you just... Yeah, I didn't quite say it like that, so don't let me give myself that much credit. I'm like, hey, can you just finish this? Because I got to eat my food over here. And so, like, in that moment, right, I'm sure that my wife, who has been working all day with the girls, really appreciated her husband at that moment. Said, can you just finish this? Because my food's getting cold over here. I didn't say and ask or invite her in a way that was motivated by love. I did it because it's like my food was getting cold and I wanted my food not to be cold. Small thing, right? But it's a sin that Jesus Christ had to die on the cross for. I was totally, utterly being selfish and using my freedom for myself and not considerate for her. And it can just happen like that. I knew the moment I wasn't walking in the Spirit. I was walking in David. I was acting in a merely human way. Now, if you find yourself in that place as I did, where do we go from there? When we're able to identify the cause, do we just chalk it up to, well, that's the way it is, you know, and move on? No, what needs to happen in that moment is this. What needs to happen in that moment is, and you see it, it's actually at the very bottom of your notes, but there's three lines there. God has given us this wonderful, wonderful means to get back in step with the Spirit. It's three things. Are you ready? The first one is confess. Confess. Why do we do that? Why do we confess? We call what we engaged in not walking in the Spirit, we call it sin. Why? Why? Because the next word there is repent. We say, God, you call that sin. I call that sin. And in our confession and with our repentance, we say, I'm going to turn from that. I'm going to turn from myself to that which is greater, that which is more blessed, and that is you. Because in you, I can now know through my repentance the forgiveness of my sins. So when I'm out of step with the Spirit, when I'm not living that Spirit-filled life, I need to stop. I need to confess that, because it's that place I need to come to the foot of the cross and know His forgiveness for me. But I'll never know that if I don't confess it and I can't hear His words that He speaks over me through Jesus that says, "You are forgiven." Because when I confess and when I repent, guess what I can then do? Worship again. That's the last part. I can come and I can worship and say, "That's not who I am. I'm not that selfish person. I am one who has newness of life. Thank you, Jesus, because of what you have done." Just like that, we come back into this and into the life that He's given us. I pray that every single person in this room would take advantage of that every single day. If you know Christ as Savior, what Paul wants for you, but more importantly, what your Father wants for you, is to be able to walk in the Spirit so that when you identify it, and we have His word which helps us to identify when we don't, we're able to go to the cause of it and call the cause for what it is, the elevation of our desires over Him, and then we're able to confess, repent, and when we do that, we're able to worship again, to live in that newness of life. But I close with this third thing. Don't go at this alone. You see, we need brothers and we need sisters in our lives who will call us out on our sin. Let me stop there. See, because what's fascinating to me is the Corinthians were engaged in these divisions, and yet they kept on in it. Paul had actually come and to say, "Hey guys, don't you see it? You're off. You've gotten screwy here. There's divisions. You're not walking in the Spirit." The Corinthians were blessed with Paul, who was able to come and to call them out on their sin and say, this isn't how it should be. We need people in our lives who will come alongside of us and do that. Do you have people that you trust who will lovingly say, "I don't want to see you not live in the life that God has for you"? We need people that will call us out on that. But then secondly, we need people, and they should be the same people, who will remind us of who we are. We need people who just don't simply say, "You're not walking in the Spirit. Don't you see? You're living a life of disobedience." We need people to say, "But I know that's not who you are. I know God dwells in you. You're forgiven. You're loved. You've been given newness of life." We need people in our lives that will come alongside of us. That's what Paul was doing here. Because when he started this book, and he knew that he was going to have to correct them, he started this letter to them, and he said, "To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours." He started by reminding them of who they are, but he wasn't also afraid to say, "But this isn't who you are." We want to be that for one another. Do you have someone in your life who is that? Are you someone like that to somebody else? What a church family we can be when we aren't just simply those who go around and point out one another's sin, but come alongside each other. And when we see somebody, when was the last time when you saw somebody walking in the Spirit that you came to them and said, "Wow, you showed such patience there. That was God at work within you." The self-control, the joy you have, the peace. I pray that we would be a church that would really not just simply say, "You got off there," but that we'd be a church that every time we see somebody walking in the Spirit, both big ways, small ways, we're quick to acknowledge it and to give praise to the God who makes it possible. What a community. What a community to be a part of, to be able to participate in that together. I'm excited to see, church, how that will look in our lives, not just today, but in the days and weeks going forward. To Him be the glory. Amen? We're not mere humans. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you, as we recognize your word today, Lord, what I've just spoken, what I've said, it's not possible to live in this life. It's not possible to exhibit anything that I've shared unless, Lord, we've moved from death to life, and that's only possible through your Son, Jesus Christ. So, Lord, if there's any in this place today, if you're hearing what I'm saying today, and you have not yet confessed Christ as Savior, would you today acknowledge? Would you do that? Would you confess? Confess that you're a sinner. Confess that you don't have the power to be free from your sins, that you can try all day long to obey the law, but you'll never be able to do it. Would you confess today that that's you? And then just simply say, but Lord Jesus, I believe that you're the one who did, who obeyed perfectly. And because of you today, I'm forgiven, I'm redeemed. And I'm also not just one with sins forgiven, but today have newness of life because you rose from the dead. Would you believe that today? Would you confess it to the Lord? And then, Lord, for those of us who know this to be true, may you help us to be a church who's filled with that, who daily reminds one another that when we sin, we are forgiven, and that we would come alongside one another, and when we see evidences of your Spirit's power at work, that we would speak it for the glory of your name and for the good of the saints. We love you for these truths. In Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen.